Hey everybody, and welcome to this episode of the Super Swimmer Brothers podcast. I'm here, as always, with Andy.
It's Andy, hey everyone. Today.
Yep, Andy.
I'm gonna try and get in the habit of doing this from now on. I said this to myself before I got on here. I was like, I gotta start doing the spoiler warning, because there's gonna be spoilers here. And since we're being more consistent when we're getting our episodes up, so I feel like it's kind of important.
Yeah, we kind of give it like 24 to 48 hours afterwards. So
yeah, massive spoilers. So stop listening now if you don't want any. okay, so. Terra Fuji, the winner.
Yeah. It's funny because I think we were...
Mixed emotions here. I'm throwing it out right off the bat.
It's funny because... So I did tweet at Super Sumo Bros. If you want to hear this tweet. I actually was talking about this, how we're not big fans of Terra Fuji. Mainly, you know, he's kind of a Henka kind of guy, and he's had some bad history with Kota Shukiku, and that kind of always seems to be our measuring point, is like, did you do anything to Kota Shukiku that would make us hate you?
And yeah, it's pretty much what it comes down to.
I mean, Abi, Amanishiki, Terra Fuji, like, I don't like any of them. And even though Abi did win Makushita, so we'll get to that a little later probably. But I had tweeted, I was like, not a big fan of his. I do like the story though. Like, second time being an Ozeki, that rarely happens. I don't even know if it's ever happened to someone who's dropped as low as him to fight his way back, because most people just retire. So I just tweeted out, and a lot of people were, because I was like, is he the next Yokozuna? Like, could he potentially put together a run where he's the best in the field?
Of this field, yes.
Yes.
Like, hands down, the best.
Everyone who's entering May, he's the best, because Hakuho has already been ruled out. He had surgery, his third surgery on the same knee in, like, the last, like, year and a half. So he's out. He got a second warning, like, another real warning again. How many times you can warn him, I don't know.
Yeah.
But this is the second first warning that he's receiving, he needs to perform well in July, and there was a promise that he would. So if he doesn't perform well in July, we might go into September without a Yokozuna potentially, but we'll see.
Yeah,
going into May, Terra Fuji is the best. He's got two U shows in the last five. He's now your active leader with three. No one can really, unless Takayasu can beat him, but
it's just like, I don't know. It just doesn't feel right, Brian. You know what I'm saying? To quote Family Guy, yeah, there, yeah. It just, I don't know.
It's weird because I feel like when he was first in Ozeki, like, I thought that was his opportunity, and I expect to see him back. And now he's back at Ozeki. Like, there's no official announcement, but it's a given. He'll be out there, and maybe when this is posted, we'll know more tomorrow morning. But it feels weird to have him back as an Ozeki after falling down so far. And for both of us, we don't really like him. So,
yeah. I mean, but you know, he beat the guys he had to, except for Takayasu, really. In terms of, like, because the Takayasu fight was like the turning point. Takayasu was 7-1, Terra Fuji was 6-2 at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And had Terra Fuji won there, obviously would have evened it up. But he ended up losing that fight. And I thought it was pretty much over at that point.
I did too.
I got the fight up here. And I really feel like...
I thought this was a statement match.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, looking at how dominant Takayasu, like, I thought was in this fight.
Yeah, like, he's killing it right now.
He made Terra Fuji, I wouldn't say look bad, but he didn't look like he was in control of the fight at all. Like, you knew from the get-go that Takayasu was taking this.
Yeah, yeah.
And think about that. So that was Terra Fuji's last loss, was that one.
Yeah, it was, like, in, you know, says something about him too to come back from that, though, I suppose.
Sorry, that is a lie. That is not the last loss. So he lost to Shimonomi on day 10. But yeah, so he ended up taking only having three losses at the time and for the tournament. But yeah, no, and then we were talking about, you know, he's gonna have to go through all three Ozeki, and that's what they gave him, 13, 14, 15.
Mm-hmm.
Beat all three Ozeki. We didn't even think he'd have a shot at promotion, because at the time, I mean, he's sitting at two losses. He wasn't looking great after day eight. I mean, he was sitting at 6-2, so it was kind of early for us to count him out. But
yeah, I mean, I don't think it was necessarily that. I don't know. That Takeyasu loss was bad. Like, he just looked bad. But I mean, he clearly wasn't in bad shape. Just maybe just a bad day.
Yeah. And it's funny because so his numbers. So now that he'll be Ozeki. These are his numbers against the first group of Ozeki that was with him. So at the time, he's only ever faced three Ozeki in his first time around. When he was an Ozeki, these were his numbers. Against Guido, he was 3-7. Against Casino Sato, he was 1-8. And against Kota Shikiku, who, and these were all when they were ranked Ozeki as well, he was 3-4 against Kota Shikiku. Now, against current Ozeki, while he's going to be an Ozeki, these are his total numbers against them. Asano Yama 5-0, Shodai 2-0, Takakesho 2-1. Like, it's complete opposites. Like, that's why I think he might be the best, because his numbers show against everybody that he can beat the other three Ozeki. He has winning records against all three of them. I mean, undefeated against Asano Yama and Shodai.
Yeah, it's of this pack, he's definitely the best. So I guess in the end, it doesn't really surprise me that he was able to beat that. But I had the Shimonomi fight up here, and he didn't look very good in that loss either. Mm-mm. And that came after obviously after his loss to Takeyasu. So I mean, I didn't think we were entirely way off until then. He smoked all three Ozeki.
Yeah, and so I almost think it was, and we, after, so we had recorded this, our last episode was day 9, so we knew at the time Takeyasu was 7-2. I think by then he had a two bout lead.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he did. Yeah,
by day 10, when there's a two bout lead, the record was 24-1.
Jeez.
The one time was Hakuho, who lost like day 11 and day 12 or something like that, and Guido ended up going on and winning, or I forget who it was specifically. This was the 26th time that someone by day 10 had a two fight match. It's only the second time that someone's lost the lead and didn't win the Yusho.
Oh man. Yeah, Takeyasu, it just fell apart.
The funny thing, we called it though. Like, we looked at the numbers from last tournament, and you know, when he starts, you know, 7-8-1 or better. So this was through day 9. He's been 10-5, 11-4, 11-4, 12-3, 9-6, 11-4, 10-5, and now another 10-5. So, like, we almost saw this coming. Like, he has a history of getting that lead and then not being able to maintain it. I don't know if in those scenarios how far ahead he was, but in those where he started, at least in the leader pack or in the leaderboard through 9 days, he's choked away the leaderboard. Like, he's just fallen off of it.
Yeah. And it's kind of bittersweet too, because he lost to Wakatakage and Tomozaru.
Yeah.
Which I was like, oh, that's like, I kind of wanted Takeyasu to win, but go Tomozaru and Wakatakage.
Yeah. Wakatakage had a good tournament considering he started pretty bad. He was 2-4 through the first six and just not looking good. But he had a great bounce back in the second half.
And see, this is a weird fight too. I didn't really, because I had pretty much written off Takeyasu, obviously, once he dropped to 10-4.
Mm-hmm.
So I really wasn't paying attention to who he was fighting on day 15. I was more paying attention to Terunofuji. They put him against Oyama on day 15. That's kind of like a slap in the face, I feel like.
Well, no, so the reason they actually did this is because the winner of this, it would have been, if Takeyasu had won this, it would have been 11-4. Aoyama would have went to 11-4. And then Terunofuji, if he lost, would have also gone to 11-4, where they would have had a three-way playoff.
Oh, yeah, I see. Well, no, yeah, yeah. Because Terunofuji was 12 and... Yeah, you're right. Yeah, he would have been... So it would have made sense, yeah.
Yep, so it would have been a three-way playoff where... This right here determined... And the other thing that could have happened is, let's say Aoyama wins and Taira Nofuji loses, there would have been a playoff between Taira Nofuji and Aoyama for the Yusho. So yeah, there was some reason why they took Takayasu or Komatsubi East 1 and put him up against Aoyama and Magashira 12 West. Is because of that he was on the leaderboard. They needed to see if he could actually compete, and he lost to a guy he shouldn't have lost to.
He definitely should have beat Aoyama.
Yeah, I think a lot of people were hoping for a three-way playoff, because that I don't know how that would have worked in terms of fighting each other. Would they like all have fought each other once, and then I don't know how they would have done that with a three-way playoff.
Yeah, it would have been interesting.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, Aoyama, that was his first June Yusho too, so runner up. And we were talking in our pre Basho episode about him versus Kaisei and who we thought would do better. And I still felt Kaisei through like 8 days, 9 days, and then Kaisei went to 8-7, and obviously Aoyama took the June Yusho as runner up. Like I said, that's his first one. So
yeah, it was pretty good. It was actually, given where they're both at in their career, I feel like those pretty good performances by both of them.
Yeah, and it was weird heading into the last couple of days, because I still didn't see Aoyama staying on the leaderboard. It was like heading into the last like 2 or 3 days, you were still talking about a potential Takakesho Yusho, which he's no longer Katabon, which is great. Mm-hmm. Like Asunayama was part of that leaderboard too, heading into the last few days. And Waka Takakage was on the board. I think Tobi Zaru was on that board too in like the last 2 or 3 days. And like it was kind of tight heading into day 13, 14, 15, where like it wasn't just Takakesho Takayasu and Taira Nofuji. There was like a handful of other guys that competed pretty well.
Yeah, there were a lot of people within striking distance of the leaderboard. Shino Kuni pulled out. On day 14, I didn't happen to see what happened on day 12 to injure him, because he pulled out on day 13.
Yeah, I didn't see what happened either.
I'm just pulling up that fight, but he was up there for a while too, chasing it for a bit, and then this happened apparently.
Yeah, so we had him when we talked, and essentially Nakabe plus one. We were through day 9. He was on that leaderboard, and we had said that he wouldn't stay up there. Case in point.
But yeah, it sucks that. He came down bad on that knee when he came off the dojo. Yeah. He just kind of like jammed it and then jumped really quick. Like that hurt a lot. Yeah. So yeah, that stinks, because you won and you still got injured.
Yeah, I mean, that's the same thing that happened to Hakuho on day 2. He took the loss, but you could almost, he was like grimacing when he was trying to go down to get his envelopes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's going to be like, it's a silver lining. It's like, yeah, I won the fight, but I'm injured. But at least with Giannakuni, he was 8-5-2, so he could pull out and there was no real implications. He'll get a promotion, actually.
Yeah. He'll end up going up to Magashira 8, most likely.
Yep, probably.
Kota Nowaka going down a couple ranks.
Yeah, Kota Nowaka will go down. Kagayaki there will also go down. Toichi Noshin will drop a rank.
Mm-hmm.
So there will be a lot of movements within the Makuuchi division, but I don't see a lot of, there might be one person who falls out, and I think that's going to be Koto Shoho, who did come back and try to fight the last 4 days, and he did get his only win in the last 4 days.
Yeah, so at least that.
But yeah, so he's 1-6-8. There's a chance he probably gets dropped down to Juryo, and then Akua will be, or Ishiura, one of those guys will get promoted up, or maybe both of them. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, because looking at the guys that are going to drop pretty significantly, like Okunomi, which we kind of expected.
Mm-hmm.
Shimon no Umi, whose name I always have to, like, I just look at that name and I get all confused. I want to say like Shaman something.
Yeah, I think Shimonoumi. Shimonoumi.
Yeah, who bested Taira Nofuji?
Yeah, like it's weird, because like Taira Nofuji had a couple bad losses in there that, like, that's one that you should win. He just made things interesting, and then Yeah, and then he lost to Ono Show, which I thought that was one of the best matches that Ono Show has ever had. Back in day five, but
oh, when he beat Terunofuji, Fuji,
yeah.
There's gonna be a lot of shifting at the top, like the top three Magashira ranks.
Mm-hmm.
That like that hell level, so to speak, of the Banzuke.
Yeah, that's a tough place to be in. Because I think Meisei and Wakatakakage will probably be. I don't know if Meisei will jump Hokuto Fuji to go into Magashira 1. So I'm guessing it's going to be Wakatakakage in Magashira 1 East, Hokuto Fuji in Magashira 1 West, and then Meisei will be Magashira 2 East.
Mm.
That's what I'm guessing.
Yeah, I would agree with that. That all seems pretty accurate.
But then, like, trying to find a guy to jump up, like, after Meisei at Magashira 3, your next winning record is Tobizaru at Magashira 8. So, like, you could have Tobizaru and Wakatakakage at, like, 1 through 3.
Yeah, that's probably what's going to happen. Wakatakakage is not going to make it into the Senyaku, so he'll probably be, yeah.
Yeah, because they definitely don't want to force... Because especially with Senyaku, with Terunofuji, then going up to Ozeki, your Senyaku will be Takanosho, Takayasu, Takeomi, and Daisho.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Daisho had a good bounce back, too. Having lost 5 of his first 6, and then finishing 8-7 for the tournament. So he at least got his Kachikoshi and will remain at his rank.
He lost 4 straight out of the gate. That's right.
Yep.
And then was just picking up random wins throughout. He had a big streak, but near the end, it was Onosho, then lost to Wakatakage, then Meisei, then lost to Kiribayama, and then Akasuyama on the last day to get his 8th. That's got to be kind of stressful.
Yeah, going into day 15 and being 7-7 has to be one of the worst feelings ever.
It's so dicey.
And the worst part is, so they put him and Akiseyama, who were both 7-7 against each other. I love when you look at those kind of things and you're like, oh, I know why you put a Magashira. Because that's a Komusubi 2 against a Magashira 12 East.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like that's a far reach down, hey, we want to put 7-7s against each other. I don't know. It just seems like a pretty far stretch to put a guy like 9 or 10 ranks down.
Mm. Yeah, it's weird. But yeah, it was a good win against Akasuyama on that day too. It was pretty solid finish to the tournament. Mm-hmm. We get going down even farther. You get. Again, more of the, like you said, there's not going to be too much shifting actually, but yeah, who are you putting in the 1-2-3 spots? Because there's a lot of 7 and 8s, a lot of 8 and 7s, 10 and 5. Like Hidenoumi will move up probably pretty high. Hidenoumi, I'll get it right someday. Like obviously, like you said, Tobizaru is going to go up. Then Oyama is going to jump up, but we know that's not going to, that won't last very long, most likely.
Probably not.
No. Kaisei will, he'll go up to big Magashira 15.
Mm-hmm.
Looking
at this, there could be 2 guys that drop out of Makuchi, actually, because Yutakeyama at Magashira 15 being 4-10, I think he'll drop down. Kota Shoho will also drop down into Juryo, and then they'll bring up Akua and Ishiura will be your 2 call-ups.
Yeah. Yeah, Ishiura will make his re-entrance into the Makuchi for sure.
Mm.
Get to see some Akua though. I'm excited to see some Akua.
Yeah, get him back up.
I mean, a lot of the guys in the Juryo division, they're moving up a few spots in a lot of cases.
Yeah.
Enho, Chiyomaru, Chiyono, all those guys in the top 4 having winning records. It's like they'll be dipping into Makuchi for sure.
Yeah, I mean they'll be like call up guys probably, but I don't think any of them will actually get a full call up. Like I said, I think it's only gonna be Akua and Ishiura might be the only 2 to get a full call up.
Yeah.
And even Ishiura is borderline questionable, but I can see them they could potentially open up a Mugger Shira 17 slot and maybe bring up Chiyomaru as well. But well, you, I, but without knowing who he actually faced, I can't say for sure.
Yeah. And you got Midori Fuji, who's going to drop down probably about 15-14 with a 5 and 10 there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, I'm super excited to see Tomizaru and Wakatake Kage continue the climb.
Yeah, it is, I think Wakatake Kage looked... I don't know why he struggles early on. He's like, even looking at his, you know, first 5 days we'll take as a sample and his tournaments that he's been in the top division. He was 4-0-1. He pulled out and then was out for the rest of the tournament. But then he was, you know, he's been 3-2, 2-3, 4-1 with a Fusen in there, and then 4-2-3 again. Mm. So like he like that first like 5 or 6 days he doesn't perform well, but then for the rest of the tournament he gets going. So and he performed well this tournament against some guys that, you know, he beat a whole bunch of Senyaku guys that he beat.
He beat Takeyasu, he beat Taisho. I mean, those aren't Senyaku guys necessarily, but like Takara Fuji's Mugger Shira 1. Well, I'm just saying, I'm reading other names and then I'm like,
oh yeah,
I'm ahead of myself. Like Takara Fuji's Mugger Shira 1, I believe. So I was like reading his name. Mm-hmm. But I mean, not that he was any all star, because when he did lose to him, he was 1-9 at the time. So,
mm-hmm.
Or when he beat him. So it wasn't like a huge upset or anything. But yeah, I mean, he was definitely beating the guys above him. He lost to Mataki Umi, he lost to Terna Fuji, he lost to Taka Keisho. Taka Nosho, sorry, he beat Taka Keisho. Asano Yama he lost to. So he lost to like 3 Ozeki.
He lost to both Sekiwake as well.
Yeah, so he's not dancing with the Senyaku guys quite yet. So that's another reason why I think they won't, even with a 10-5, I don't think they're gonna bump him up.
They'll put him at Mugger Shira 1 East. Yeah. I mean, that's where I would put him.
And he'll run the Senyaku gambit in the beginning. We'll see how he does this time.
Yep. Yeah, he'll almost get identical, get the exact same guys that he faced this time.
Mm-hmm. Meisei will probably be your other Mugger Shira 1, looking at things.
Yeah, possibly if he jumps over Hokuto Fuji. If not, Meisei could be your Mugger Shira 2 East.
Yeah, that's a good question. I wonder what you do in this case. Do you keep Hokuto Fuji at 2?
Yeah, because if he doesn't go up, he'll stay where he is, and then you move Wakatake Kage up to Mugger Shira 1 East, and then Meisei would be your Mugger Shira West 1.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's the right play.
Yeah, I agree.
And then you, like... Because, yeah, no one's falling out of Senyaku, so you're not going to, like, fill with anything there. Then who do you put in 2 with Hokuto Fuji if you're going to keep him there?
And like I said, the next person after that has a winning record would be Tomizaru.
Yeah. So I think, yeah, Tomizaru's getting the jump. I feel like that's the only one that makes sense.
Yeah, because you're not going to promote... Like, they, I don't know how often they've ever promoted anybody with a 7-8 record. Like, Kiribayama, they'll probably just keep him there. But I can't imagine even them moving up to, like, Mugger Shira 3 West just to fill it. I think they'd almost rather move someone from Mugger Shira 8.
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking, too, like, Chuno Kuni, like, could get up to Mugger Shira 4 or 3. With 8-5-2, which is kind of funny.
It's just because there's that. Because
there's nobody there, yeah.
Between 4 and 7, there's nobody who has a winning record there.
That's so crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And they won't move Endo that much because he's like fan favorite. So
yeah, he'll go down to like 7.
Yeah, so I was thinking go to 7. But like guys, you got to drop down. Like Tamawashi is going to drop like hard. Shimamura Umi is going to drop. Like those guys are gonna fall pretty far down, but yeah, I think a lot of 8 and 7 guys could see a few rank promotion here just to fill in.
Mm-hmm.
Like Oyama could realistically he could end up at like Mugger Shira 4 or 5 from 12.
Yeah, no, there's a good chance that he does get that big of a jump. I mean, he's got the Jun Yusho, so it makes sense. Like, hey, you're the runner up. We're going to promote you up just one, because we need to fill in those top ranks. And two, because, I mean, you fought, then you, I mean, you beat Takayasu on the last day as well. And yeah, so I think he'll get a good jump too.
It'll be a very interesting Bansuke. The top five, I'm very, very interested in.
And I like, I think what I'm most excited about with May is that we know Hakuho is not going to be in it. Mm-hmm. And we know Kakeru is already retired. So like what we're looking at is what we're going to get. I don't think there was any major injuries. Like even Kota Shoho, like we said, he came back. So he'll be on the, he'll probably be down in Jerio, but like what we're seeing now is likely who we're going to get at full strength, unless there's any kind of injuries during training. I don't know what Endo's injury is. Him at 5-5-5.
I'm gonna take a look at his fight and see what that was, because I don't recall the fight, but it was against Kota Nuwaka apparently.
Yeah, so it's funny because I don't know why I've never seen 5-5-5 before. Like for some reason that stood out to me, so I was like, I want to look to see how often this record happened. Maybe it's happened because little side note, there was a potential implication down in Jurio with Ura, who actually pulled out for one match. And there was someone on Twitter who had put out a tweet and was like, wow, this is crazy. Like we could have someone in, you know, in Jurio who could, you know, possibly have a win. When was the last time that happened? So in Jurio, you had to, in order for, you had to go back to 1928 to find someone who had a withdraw and still won. Huh. And then in Mikuchi was 1973. And then Makushita was 1938.
Jeez.
Sadanme 1925. So someone pulling out typically means it's an instant loss.
Yeah.
It's very rare that ever happens.
In terms of like you have no chance of winning a tournament.
Correct. Yeah. Because you've at least pulled out one. So that's a guaranteed loss. And you're essentially two behind the leader at that point. But yeah. So Endo's 5-5-5 has only happened 11 times.
Gotcha. Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. He looked like a little limpy coming off of the Dohyo there, but didn't seem anything major. So yeah, maybe it was maintenance or something really.
Mm-hmm.
Cause you know, I'm not sure how the leaderboard was looking for him when he, the day for it was like 9-ish. So yeah, when we were, and he had just won. So it must've been something relatively serious.
Mm-hmm.
Coming off a win. Because yeah, like it wasn't like he was in, you know, in the driver's seat, gonna easily get 8 wins or anything. So
no, yeah, because he was sitting at 5-4 when he pulled out. So then he went to 5-5, and then he was 5-5-5 afterwards. So there was a chance that he could have gotten 8, but I mean, if he was like, I'm already at 5 wins, if I get dropped down to 7 or 8. That's probably okay for him, and he'll just bounce back next tournament rather than trying to risk a further injury where he knows he's not performing his best. You know, it's better for him to just pull out, I guess.
So I'm just looking over other people who were injured.
Yeah, but... so yeah, Meisei will have a career high next tournament. If he goes up to Magashira 1, Wakataka Kage will obviously... Oh, actually, he's been at Magashira 1 before, so... you know, he'll be back there next tournament. For some reason, I don't ever remember Aoyama ever being a Sekiwake, but apparently he's been there before.
Yeah, I think, vaguely. When was that, actually?
I'm going to have to go back. I'm taking a look. So he's only had 2 Bashos at Sekiwake. The last time he was ranked there was back in pretty much... like the year I started watching. So this was November of 2014. And then he was there in January of 2015. And then he hasn't been back there since. He's kind of been floating around the middle of the pack. Lowest he hit was Jurio 2, and then he's kind of bounced back. He went to Komasubi apparently in May of 2019. So he's kind of fought his way back, but he's more of a middle of the pack kind of guy.
Yeah. He won 7 in a row.
Yeah.
On the last 8 days. That's crazy.
Yep. So, like, just, think about that. Like, you're 4-4. You had to win 7 in a row, and now you're on. You were second place.
That's how crazy this basho was, man. Like, this basho was just nuts. Like, even going after the first week, it was like so wide open. And yeah, I was like, then when I saw Takeyasu lose, I was like, oh god, here we go again. Like,
well, because we had messaged each other because we had recorded through day 9, and then on day 10, I think you had messaged me and you were like, have you seen what happened today?
Yeah.
Or it was like day 11 and I watched it and we were like, okay, well, now it's Takeyasu's tournament 100% to lose. Mm-hmm. And I feel bad because one of the so the Sumo Kaboom, the two sisters who do a podcast, one of them is a huge Takeyasu fan. And like that's all that was on Twitter was like sad gifs,
yeah,
of like them trying to figure out what the hell's going on and like why this happened and being, it's like I wanted him to win because I've been pulling for him. And there's also another good picture of Casino Sato from like a booth, and you can just see the look on his face. It's like, come on, man, really? Like, it's like you can see that disappointment in him. It's like, dude, you were so close. Yeah, how'd you blow it?
He totally should have had that, man. Like, mm-hmm. I love Akutakage and Tobizaru, but he's better than those guys. And yep. He's way better than Oyama.
Yeah, and those were two guys that I think it was probably predictable that he was going to have to face them. Mm-hmm. But I think he had a 1-1 record against... Yeah, so he was 0-1 against Tobizaru. And Wakatakakage, he was 1-2 against at the time. So now he's 1-3 against Wakatakakage and now 0-2 against Tobizaru.
I mean, I'm excited for them, but
I am stoked for this next, like, almost like what we consider like the next generation. I don't want to call them young because some of them are a little bit older, but like Tobizaru, Wakatakakage, even Hoshoryu was 8-7. Another young guy. I thought he would do better since I, like I said, his uncle was in town and I figured his uncle would, it was Asashoryu would train him a little bit more, get him caught up, but maybe that'll be next tournament. But yeah, so like this next generation, I'm pretty excited for.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be real good. It's gonna be, yeah, I think a lot of the bashos going forward, especially without Hako and them, are gonna be like this, mm-hmm. where it's like it's anyone's game all the way to day like 13 or 14.
Yeah, and I guess after this one, I really can't count anybody out. Because if you had told me on day 8 that Aoyama was going to be your runner-up, I would have been like, okay, so who died? Like, who pulled out? Like, what you know, traumatic event happened where he just went on a tear for 7 days in a row? Which I don't know if he's ever done that. Mm. Like, just, like, quickly glancing over, he might have had one in, like, November 2018. But besides that, maybe July of 2017. But like, he's never had a streak like this in his life. Like 7 in a row, second place
in a tournament that he could actually potentially have won too.
He had a chance.
All of a sudden,
like Taira Nofuji beat guys that we didn't think he'd. I mean, he has winning records against all three of them. But yeah. You know, he had a couple. He had a bad loss. He lost to Takeyasu. I was worried there for a second that Taira Nofuji wouldn't even actually be Ozeki, to be honest. Yeah. I was like, oh, if that gets in his head, but yeah, it didn't. And now we have Taira Nofuji back up in Ozeki Kame.
Yeah. I think it'll be nice to see the Ozeki pack up there though. I think you'll have Shodai, obviously, Katoban.
Yeah. And I was going to say, like, I want a tournament where someone isn't. Like, Takakesha was your Katoban this tournament. I think last tournament was Shodai and Asanoyama, who were both coming off injuries. And then before that was like, it's just give me a tournament where I don't have to worry about any of them being demoted.
Yeah, I know, that would be nice.
Yeah. Like, I want.
I'm just wondering who Shodai lost to. I don't know. I'm just looking over it. I mean, he lost to all three. Well, the counting Taira Nofuji is in Ozeki already, but. He lost to Asanoyama. He lost the other Ozekis, so it's not surprising, I guess.
Like, yeah, like you kind of look at the. I mean, like I think Wakatakakage performed better than his end result is better than I think it should have been. Like, I didn't think he'd actually go 10-5 this tournament. I mean, that's insane. but yeah, like. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I guess maybe the pressure of being the highest ranked guy got to him. I don't know. I hate when Ozeki at Katoban because I want that consistency. Like, I love that. I don't want to call him like the wolf pack, but when you had like at least Kuedo, Casino Santo, and Kodo Shugiku, and then when Taira Nofuji joined that,
Hey, that was a mean, we always talk about it, but it was a very mean Ozeki pack there. That was,
it almost feels like I'm talking about like the NWO. Like there's something about like those four guys just like killing it together. And I know a lot of them, I shouldn't complain about people not being or being Katoban, because that group was, Guido was, I feel like it was almost like every other tournament. Even Kotoshigiku was, you know, every handful of tournaments he'd go Katoban, he'd have to fight back. And I mean, that was more later in his Ozeki run, because he was there for a very long time.
Yeah. Guido, I feel like was like Katoban like every other tournament. But that's probably the case. But
even so I'm interested because Terno Fuji's only 29. And speaking of Terno Fuji, he's actually becoming a Japanese citizen.
That's cool.
So he'll get, he already has his, like, his name he'll be taking is his Oyakata's surname, which is interesting because when he won his match, his Oyakata was down on the ringside. They shot to him, and like you could see that like, he was trying not to get too emotional, where it's like, that's my stable and who just won. But he was in Ozeki for 14 tournaments. He only had 8 winning records, 6 losing records. And like I said, his numbers, like, I almost think Terano Fuji the first time around wasn't that great of an Ozeki. Just gonna say it. he did have 3 Jun Yu shows, to be fair, at Ozeki, but
again, he was fighting a way tougher pack back then, though.
Yeah, and that's like this, like the pack he's got now, like I said, 5-0, 2-0, 2-1. Like, he should smoke these guys now versus what he had the first time, which I wonder if that's because it's like either they were all veterans and they just had the upper hand on Terano Fuji because he was a young guy at the time. You talked about, like, this is going to be like 2 years ago. So you're like mid-20s or 3 years ago, I think, when he was first up in Ozeki. So yeah, maybe the veteran presence got to him, but like you're now the leader of the pack. You're going to probably be the top ranked Ozeki.
I don't imagine so.
Yeah.
And yeah, he's like your, especially if like Endo ends up having to be out for a while, and you know, no Hakuho, obviously, no Kakaru, he's like your headliner. Really?
Yeah.
He's your prize fighter at this point. So that's going to be a lot of pressure on him. It'll be very interesting to see if he can stay up there.
Yeah.
I mean, but that's just money for him at this point. Like, this is the time, man. This is like, seize the moment here.
Yeah, and I think the big thing with Terano Fuji, like he had like the crowd was excited for him too, which like I feel like I wish I could be excited for him. Like you said, there's that part of me who's just like, I don't like what you've done. Maybe I can move past that because he seems like a better guy than his first time around, when before he was like trying to prove who he was, and now he knows who he is, so he doesn't have to do all that stuff. I don't know. Because like, I didn't like Hakuho at first. I couldn't stand Hakuho. And I think that was because he was so dominant. And then I was like, you know what? I'm just going to accept the fact that Hakuho is crazy good. And I actually like him. But I don't know if I'll ever actually like Terano Fuji. Maybe I'll just tolerate him.
He's so bandaged up, though. Like, Terano Fuji is ridiculously bandaged up. His elbows, his knees, his feet.
Yeah.
Like, every part of him is, his ankles are wrapped up. Like, I mean, it's got to be precautionary, I'm sure. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been able to do as good as he's doing. But
yeah.
Yeah, I don't really feel like, I mean, I didn't think he was going to win, but I don't know how long of a stay he's going to have up there, especially if like, the Wakatakages and Tobizarus of the Basho like are all spastic and running around him and getting in behind him and stuff. Like, I don't know if he's going to be able to pivot on those knees, or, you know, I don't know if the strength's going to be there and if that's really going to get you that far these days. Because I think the last Rikishi we saw that was really winning with pure power than Hakuho, of course, was probably Tochinoshin, and people figured that out pretty quick.
Yeah.
Seemingly.
Yeah. And I had tweeted out this too, where I was like, if it wasn't for Terano Fuji's knee, I would be confident that we were looking at the next Yokozuna. And I don't know if that's going to be the case now.
And then if you're him, do you even want to be a Yokozuna? Like,
I don't know.
Because if you get hurt, then you're going to go the way of Kasino Sato. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And it might not be the best time to even want to be a Yokozuna right now. You could just sit at Ozeki, run the gambit on these guys. You lose, you get your second chance. Then if you lose again, you get your third chance. I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't want to be a Yokozuna, I don't think.
It's funny. I almost barely want to be an Ozeki. Because it's just like the Ozeki rules that come, but Yokozunas are almost like that. You get more chances with that. Yeah. Like if you have a bad record, it's not like, oh, you have a chance of being demoted, but like,
yeah,
right. The amount of pressure. And then like, and think about all the stuff they have to do like outside the ring too. Like you got to go through all these like media things and you're a face of sumo. And it's just going to be so taxing that, you know, you go out to a bar and you just hit somebody. I mean, it just happens where you're just so stressed out.
I think like, it's just worse, I think, with injuries too. Like Hakuho stayed around as long as he did because he's able to stay healthy. Mm-hmm. And now you're seeing now that he's not, it's like, it's either less incentive for him to stay in or, you know, like there's all this pressure on him to retire now. Like if he, it's a little easier if you're just like, you're just losing, I feel like. You know what I mean? Where it's not like you're finishing a whole tournament, but you're finishing like 10-5. And if you did that over and over and over again as a Yokozuna, I think that would be like okay.
Oh yeah.
Whereas if you're like you're injured and you can't even get 10 wins because you're hurt, and then you have to retire, it's like, I don't know. It's so much more extreme. It almost seems like unfair.
Yeah, it's
like, but I understand you have to draw the line somewhere. Like, but
yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, it's my concern is that let's say Taro Nofuji wins 2 of the next 4 tournaments. All right. So he's already won 2 of the last 5. Let's say he wins 4 in a year and a half. With Hakuho on the edge of retirement, Kakaru now being gone, do you think they want to have a time where there's no Yokozuna, or do you think they want to force Taro Nofuji into it? Like, this is given if he wins. I mean, because he's, I didn't think anyone in the field was a measuring stick, but maybe it is going to be Taro Nofuji. I mean, despite those 3 losses, he still didn't look all that bad in those 3 losses, where it's like you said, even with Takayasu's fight, you're like, maybe it was just a bad day.
He definitely is still like, he's still like a power fighter.
Oh yeah.
I mean, and I think that's like, that holds some weight, but I don't know. I just feel like you got to have a mixed skill set, and I don't really feel like Taro Nofuji has a wide skill set range. Like it's almost like he's obviously more well ranged than Tochinoshin. Tochinoshin, if he can't lift you up and pick you up and put you out of the ring, then he doesn't really have much to go with.
I don't know if a lot of guys have that versatility though. Like I think Hakuho was like once a generation talent who like 100% has that ability.
Yeah, he was the master for sure. But I like, I'm not even saying to like such a degree of Hakuho. I just feel like it's kind of like, I'll use hockey as an example. Like things are shifting away in hockey from like grinders, like guys who, you know, play, you know, 25 minutes and bang all night and, you know, hit people into the boards and, you know, can take damage. And that's what wins games. It's shifting from that to a quicker, more skilled game where it's like, if you can put the puck in the net more than your opponent, then who cares about anything else? I feel like sumo is kind of shifting that way in a, like the grinder, the big heavy sumo that can just pick you up and lift you out or could just stand there and hold their ground with, you know, ridiculously strong leg muscles. I think that's kind of giving way to a slapping, pushing kind of style.
Yeah, there won't be much of like the belt grabs and pure kind of strength anymore. But it's funny that we talk about like guys not having an arsenal of moves. And I saw this with Takayasu. So in the first 10 days he only had 1 repeat Kimarate. That was it.
Takayasu?
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. So all of his wins were different besides day 6 and day 7 where he had Watadashi Nage. There we go.
Watadashi Nage, I think it's what it is.
Yeah, but he had like a Kakanage, a Yoritoshi, a Yoshi Daishu, like Suki Otoshi. Like, it's funny, I can say these sometimes and then other times I can't. But like, he had a whole bunch of different win ways, but like it's so weird because in sumo there's like 110 different ways to win, and all it takes is like the rotation of the arm depends, and that's a different move where it's like, well, I feel like it was just the Yodi Kiyodi, but it's a fancier name for it.
Yeah.
But
yeah, so I think Takeyasu, I felt like that was more mental than anything. Takeyasu got in his own head again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he just didn't. It's so disappointing because, like, I've even talked to other people, like, in another community that I'm part of where I was like, yeah, I wouldn't get your hopes up about Takeyasu. Like, he's been here before, he's had this record before, and he's fallen off the leaderboard in the last 5 or 6 days.
Yeah, and Takeyasu, again, he's not a power guy. He's like, he's definitely a skill guy, like you were saying, where, you know, he can beat you in a bunch of different ways, clearly.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he's never been a power guy, so it's, I don't know, I think that's where things are going. Oh man, he did like a sweet ass shoulder toss against Takakesho.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you were watching that. That looked really nice, because they were just sitting in the middle of the ring for like 30 seconds holding each other, and then Takeyasu just stood up and twisted. That was such a good win.
Boom. Yeah, that was almost like an endurance thing where it was like he knew he had Takakesho exhausted, and he's like, okay, now I'm just gonna turn and dump you because I know I can.
And Takakesho is a bigger guy there. Takakesho is definitely he's a technical fighter. We've talked about that before.
Yeah,
at least that's my opinion. He's very square to the dohyo, so to speak.
Yeah.
But so there's like the skilled guys, and then you get your power, your heavyweights, and then
want to try and rank people like they do with hockey players, where it's like you have your grinders, you got your snipers, like you got all these different categories of players. I'd like to try and do that with the groups, because it would be interesting if it's like, well, I think Takakesho is like this, but then like he ends up in another group that, you know, we don't think he's a part of or something. It would just be interesting to kind of.
Yeah, I think it would be it'd be kind of fun. We'll just do some episode where we do that.
Yeah.
Like Ichinojo, obviously, would be one of the heavyweights.
Yeah.
Just because of his weight, but I think, again, he's not like a super technical guy. Like he's got a few things he can beat you with, but he's a guy who relies on his weight and his power, which again, I think is the way that's leaving sumo right now.
It's funny that we say he's like, because we mention this every time, it's like he's only 27, and it's just like, I think someone needs to tap his potential. Like, I feel like there's something, like he's not getting the right training, or like there's just something that feels off about the way he fights and his potential. I feel like no one's tapped into it. It's kind of like once again, we're going back to hockey, where it's like, this guy might not work on the Boston Bruins, but the minute you send him away, you're like, oh, what? Like you send him to the Dallas Stars, and he like all of a sudden kills it. And you're like, is it better coaching down there? Is it just
I wonder how often that happens, actually, now you're mentioning that. Like, if Ichinojo isn't happy with his stable, can he just leave and go to another one?
I don't know. Imagine having like a draft, like, oh, we got breaking news. Ichinojo has been traded to the Sadagotake stable in exchange for Kota Shoho, who, you know, and they like change names and.
Yeah, that would be. I'm wondering if that's ever happened.
I'm guessing no one's left. If they've left like willingly, it's probably rare. But like I know, when there's scandals and they have to be moved, that happens. But I don't know if there's ever been like, I hate my coach, so I'm gonna leave your stable and go join like a rival gang. Like I'm gonna move up the street to the other stable because I don't like the way we practice.
I mean, I think you're right though. Like Ichinojo has just been—he's got some untapped potential there.
Yeah, he's definitely one of the guys that like he's been up for so long. It's like, how hasn't he? Like he's had a junior show before, you know. That was way back in 2014. He had another one in 2019. So he was 14. Imagine being 14-1 and getting a junior show.
Yeah,
and I'm actually now curious to see who won in March of 2019. I'm guessing Hakuho without looking at it. So you go 14-1. The only reason you lose is because Hakuho goes 15-0.
Yeah, that sucks.
And that I'm guessing Hakuho, and nope, he didn't face Ichinojo at all that tournament. But like, yeah, I don't know. I just feel like he can do better than these 8 and 7, 6 and 9s that he keeps putting up. Like, I don't know if he's going to be consistently 10, but I don't know. Mm. Give me some more 9s, maybe a couple 10s or 11s here.
Mm. I'm gonna jump topics to Hokuto Fuji, actually. He's someone I kind of just forget about all the time.
It's funny because I
watched a few of his fights. They look pretty. He's pretty technical too. He kind of reminds me of like Takakesho.
Yeah.
And like how he squares up and just kind of owns the ring. It's pretty fun to watch, actually. I might keep my eye on him a little bit more in this coming tournament, because yeah, if he ends up being a Mugshare 2 again, it'll be kind of interesting to see if he's got a little chip on his shoulder. Getting the 9 and 6 and still ended up being in the same rank.
Being a little salty. That's why, like, I'm very interested to see what they do with those top three, because 3 is going to be completely open. 2 and 1 have some question, because, like, I don't think Ono Sho or Takada Fuji are going to move into 3. I think they're going to go down to like 5 or 6. But yeah, Hokuto Fuji could stay at Magashira 2 or move up to 1.
He's a big dude too, yeah. Like, Hokuto Fuji seems like he's one of the heavier guys.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man, Wakataka Kage in that fight on day 15 almost Henka's him.
It's
borderline Henka.
And the thing is, like, I don't want to be too critical because I like him, but I don't like, because, like, we judge Taranu Fuji for it, Abi for it, and then we kind of do the same thing. But, like, yeah, if you pause right here,
yeah, I'm gonna pause once it. See, oh, I could do like slow motion on this too, I think. Yeah, see.
Bring it down to half speed. But like,
yeah, so he makes contact there at least.
But like, I think every guy makes contact, but like, it's almost like it's that gray area where it's like, well, how much contact do you have to make in order for it to be justified and have it not be like a Henka, blah, blah, blah.
I feel like it's a little gross watching this in slow motion, but. That's a Henka.
It's funny because I was about to change my mind, because you can kind of see that he sort of drives his shoulder in and then kind of goes to the side, where we've seen like other Henkas that are just like, I'm gonna bounce to the side and just peace out, and then you're gonna eat it.
I think get this to like this player, like, sometimes doesn't want to. There we go. So yeah. Now it's just like, well, see what I think is actually pretty interesting there. So they're going in for the Tachi-ai, to kind of explain to people what we're watching here. It's Hokuto Fuji versus Wakataka Kage on day 15. Watch Hokuto Fuji's arm go out, and I wonder if this is why Wakataka Kage does this. Like, watch where Hokuto Fuji's arm, his right arm comes out, and like Wakataka Kage like sees it and grabs it. He's like, it was kind of weird. I wonder how often that happens with like Henkas like that, like where it's just maybe the guy's like clearly overcommitting here. Like,
it's interesting that his arm was like super forward.
Yeah, like it's just weird. Like, why would you lead with that? Because his other arm is like tucked in. So, and that's the side that Wakataka Kage chooses to go to. He goes to the one with the arm extended. I don't know. I think that's something I'll look at.
It's an interesting take. That could be a possibility where for that split second he was like, I see your arm going up, I know you're going to be weak this side.
Like, then I'm just going to grab this arm, like, if nothing else. Like,
so again, we could also be trying to justify a Henka.
I mean, it's a Henka in my opinion. It's
what we should
not
do,
as egregious, but it's, you know.
We should have like a Henka segment where we take fights that we believe is it, and then we can recap them, and then we can compare them all to each other and say which of these is truly the worst Henka.
Yeah.
And it's so funny because like when you hear the Japanese announcers, like even they're like, yeah. Oh, Henka des, and you're like, oh, you, yes, even they know what just happened.
Yeah.
Like, they don't want to admit it because Henka is not an official move, I don't think.
No.
There's always some other kind of justification for it. It's like, well, if you made at least some kind of skin contact, we got a name for it.
Yeah.
But like, you hear Henka from them and you're like, yep, even they know what just happened.
Yeah. Like, I guess that's like the lie. I would trust them, I guess, over anything. So if in that fight they yell Henka as the announcers, then
yeah,
Henka it is. But yeah, like, yeah, I'm going to kind of keep an eye on Henka's, I think. And this app is super cool because it lets me do like slow motion now. So that's pretty neat. I'm gonna have to check that out. I'm very interested to see now if there's something that kind of, because I've always assumed like you would go into the fight and you're like, I'm gonna hank at this guy, like, yes. But if there's something that,
well, is happening, that you do that.
Yeah, yeah. If you're Ominishki, you're just like, I'm hanking this guy. I'm going to go for 15 hankers in one tournament.
Yeah. Like, even Tochinoshin had a pretty bad history of doing hankers. I mean, yeah. His were predictable in that you knew he was going to do it when he was, like, losing. If you had, like, two or three days in a row, you're like, you have about a 50-50, probably close to, like, a 75-25 chance that you're about to get hankered. So you should prepare it for the sidestep.
Yep.
But, yeah, we'll have to – I might have some notes on when Hank has happened, and we can probably take that either offline,
take it offline.
Or yeah. Or do it another episode where we kind of analyze some Hankas and how.
See, that's a Hanka.
I don't know, because for context, it's Kiribayama, Tochinoshin, day 13. Watch his left arm though. He goes around for the Mawashi grab. Watch.
Right, but like he.
Like, no, look, see, like,
yeah,
he,
that's
like,
that's not as bad as I
it's
thought
it's it not exactly. I think his is better than Wakataka Kage's, where you could see his intent was like, I'm gonna hit this and then I'm gonna wrap my left arm around.
Yeah,
like, and I like that. I like this app because it slows down, because in real time that looks bad.
Yeah,
it's kind of like when there's like a hit in hockey and you're like, oh, that looks bad, but then you slow it down, you're like, oh, he actually didn't get elbowed in the face, he got hit like right in the high chest, and you're like, it's not so bad. But like, I don't like Tochinoshin either. I'll give him credit because, like, yeah, you knew what his intent was.
Yeah. Like, he was going for the grab there.
Yep. So
where he could have easily have just sidestepped that entirely.
Yep.
Kiribayama does have a good grip on him right there. So, or no, he doesn't. He doesn't even have the grip on him.
He tries to grab him by the leg and get him going, but... No, I think we absolutely need to do these going forward. So this is going to be a segment now. I wish there was like a Henka help or something. Like, I want to have it be some kind of a
hot Henka take.
Yeah, hot Henka take.
There's Tochinoshin, the classic lift you up, get you out of the ring.
Yeah, that's retro at this point.
Got the messy Mawashi going on there too.
Messy Mawashi.
Oh man, but yeah, so. That's definitely. I'm gonna pay more attention to the Hankas now and see if there's like,
especially like, with that app and the ability to slow it down. Because like I think in real time they always look so bad, but when you really break it down like frame by frame, you can really see, like with that, you could see he was going for that Mawashi grab.
Yeah, like that was something that was already in his head. Like, this is what I'm gonna do at the beginning of this fight.
Yeah.
Whereas the Wakataka Kage thing, I'm wondering if that was, like. Within the moment, he was able to be like, oh, I'm just going to grab this arm and throw him down. And that was the strategy there. Or if in his head, he was just like, I'm going to hank at this bitch right now.
Yeah. Like, I'd also like to know how much footage they actually watch ahead of time. Because like with football, it's like, you know, you watch the team for a week, you know who you're going to face, but like you only have a day turnaround. So you must get, you have to know how your opponent comes in, whether he like comes in right shoulder first, left shoulder first, hands out, like, does he come in more aggressive? Is he more passive? So like that might also help in like making the judgment call of whether or not you're gonna go in for the
who to hanker.
Yeah, exactly. Who am I gonna hanker? Does this guy overcommit 9 times out of 10? He's a hanker candidate.
I mean, Kota Shigeki did that a lot. Kota Shigeki never Tachi eyed the same way every single time.
Yes.
So I think that made him super vulnerable to hankers.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's where my hatred of the Henka began.
Yeah.
Because this is so garbage.
I think my hate for like, or my dislike really for any Rikishi is always somehow revolved around something that they did to Kota Shigeki, where it's like, like I remember that time, like you disrespected him, you pushed him out of the ring and you shouldn't have, like, don't you do that to our boy. Like,
yep.
But.
Oh man. But yeah. So, I mean, I think, overall, very exciting basho.
I agree.
In my opinion, it was.
It was exciting to watch. Like the leaderboard was going into 13. Like, I like not knowing who's going to win by day 13. Like, it was still like 3 or 4 guys in the leaderboard. You know, they trimmed some of the fat with intentional matches. So you knew kind of who was going in, maybe 14, 15, but it was exciting. And I'm really looking forward to May.
And I think. Like, this is probably the first basho in some time where I was like, every morning I woke up, I watched every fight. Like, yeah. I'd usually like wait for like a day or two and then like catch up so I could have, you know, like a half hour, 45 minutes of stuff to watch. But yeah, this was like, I woke up and the first thing I did was turn on Sumo, watch the match for the day, and then put the fighters game on.
Yeah.
You know, like,
and I knew you were excited about it too, because typically that's my role, is I usually wake up, that's the first thing I do. Like, I look at my phone and I'm trying to avoid Twitter, not get any spoilers, and finally get the things up. So like, I'm usually waiting to talk to you about it if we do talk about it.
Yeah.
But I think you messaged me like a couple hand, like a couple mornings, and was like, did you see what happened? You gotta catch up. You gotta see what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah, it was good. And I hope it continues like this. And I mean, if there's not going to be any Yokozunas, then let's go crazy. Let's see if we can get some crazy lower ranked Magashira guys to win or something. I don't know. Let's have like a 3-way tournament with like Magashira 15s and 16s for a win or something. Like, I'm all about this. I think this is, if we're not going to have the Yokozuna, let's just go crazy.
I just kind of picture you with like the Elmo gif of all the flames around you, where yeah. you just want complete chaos and yeah. unworldly.
Let the Ozeki stay mostly unscathed for a while, but
yeah, you just want to see complete chaos, and you want like a Magashira 14 to win and a 3 to win and an Ozeki and then a 12. Like, just want complete chaos, and
it'd be good for the sport.
Because then, I don't if
it's
know.
All, well, because if it's all chaos, then someone will emerge to, you know, bring balance to the force. That. Like, you know, like, there will be somebody who will.
But how long do we have to wait in for that? For that one person to come along? Because I still don't think that's Terunofuji, despite you know he is going to be the best in right now in your group of guys. But I don't think he's going to be that guy to take the next step to like wrangle everyone else in and be like, I'm gonna be the guy who's gonna be the next big thing.
Yeah, I mean, like, you need somebody to come up that's gonna be like, you're gonna want to model your fighting style after him. Mm-hmm. You know, and Hakuho was that guy, and we don't have anyone that's like that right now. So absolutely again, because there's different styles emerging, you know, like when it was the four horsemen mm-hmm. riding up there, they were all pretty much power guys, if you think about it. Like, none of them, I mean, they were obviously all skilled in their own rights, but like, none of them were really, like, they tried to be Hakuho, but none of them were like Hakuho
mm-hmm.
In terms of like being able to change the game plan halfway through or anything like that. They were very Terunofuji-esque mm-hmm. in that they were bigger guys and they just used their power to beat you. They didn't really have too many, like, Endo maybe at the time was kind of like a skilled kind of little fast guy.
Yeah.
But like, you didn't really have many of those guys. And I think now you're starting to see, especially even some of the Koto guys, like Koto Nowaka is obviously on the power side, but mm-hmm. like Koto Echo, I feel like is kind of a small skilled guy.
He did a couple of those belly bumps that Koto Shinkiku yeah. did. I saw that, and I also can't believe that Koto Eiko actually finished 8-7, because I actually counted him out on my bingo card.
Yeah.
So actually, I could have bingo and not know it. I didn't win. There was somebody, some other winner. But he did a couple of those, like, I'm going to get you on the edge, and then I'm just going to viciously keep bumping you and push you out. And I was like, that's a Koto Shinkiku move. That's you learned that from him.
Yeah. Oh, man. All right, well, we should probably wrap this one up.
Yeah, I was going to say, the only thing we didn't get to talk to today was the injury.
Which
So the guy who went down.
Super, oh, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, we don't want to finish on a negative note, but that is something that we, you know, maybe we can talk about come May, because there's barely any information out there now.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to speculate, but that seems pretty egregious.
Yeah, the last report is that all the doctors were doing their best to help him, which to me sounds like he's paralyzed.
Sound good.
Nothing is official yet. I don't know if he's slowly recovering or maybe he's nervous to move or whatever, but yes, it was an ugly incident, and I think it leaves a bad look on Sumo.
Yeah, I concur, and I think we'll do someday. We'll do an episode of just kind of like our thoughts on our opinion doesn't matter, obviously, in this regard, but just how the Japanese Sumo Association handles injuries and I mean, I'm no medical professional, so, but I gotta feel like I could do better than that.
Yeah, like there were jokes out there where people were like, and it might have, this might have been Touchy Eye Blog, who was joking about it, where they had like had an image, they showed the video, and it was like, okay, oh, I think the stretcher is upside down, and then someone's else like, I didn't even know we had one. It took them 6 minutes to get out. I don't want to go too far into it because I could just rant about it, but
yeah. 6 minutes to get a totally non-moving guy.
Imagine that in any U.S. sport.
A doctor. Like, just a doctor. Yep. Not even to, like, just do anything for him. You're just getting someone out there to help him.
The winner still, and I forget who the winner is, and this isn't nothing to do with him, but he had to actually get down and do, like, when they get down, they squat and they put out their hand. Like, he had to do that over the unconscious guy, like literally like a foot and a half to his left.
Yeah,
like how can you possibly do that? And then like even the Goji still had to go through like shouting the guy's name. I'm like, this seems super inappropriate right now for a guy who is not moving.
Yeah Well, we'll close on that note. We'll do an episode on injuries someday. Give our very non-medical opinion on things.
Oh, absolutely. Neither of us have a doctorate, PhD or anything. So.
So just don't listen to us. Anyway, so thanks everybody for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, before we go out. Yeah, I was going to say, do it. I got it.
Check us out on Twitter at SuperSumoBros, SuperSumoBros.com, Google Podcast, Google Music, and Spotify. That's where we are right now.
Awesome. Okay, I'm gonna go be a podcast failure.
There you go.
See you later.